Good morning. Last week, we discussed the sugya of a person buys something, sells something, borrows money. And when it comes time to count the money that he receives, he notices that he received extra. So the halacha was that it depends how much extra there was. If it was Kadesh Hadas Toyo, if it's possible that the buyer or the borrower simply miscounted, he by accident gave you a couple extra dollars, the halacha is there's a chiyuv to return it to the rightful owner. However, if it's Ein Hadas Toyo, if it's there's so much extra, it's off by an amount where it does not make sense to say that it's a mistake, here the halacha is you can assume it's either given as a present, or perhaps in some other business deal he had stolen from you and he's doing tshuva. So by Ein Hadas Toyo, if it does not make sense that it was a mistake, the halacha is you can keep the money. Now the Shulta Kibayrim takes this halacha and says a tremendous chiddush. This is quoted in the Shach, the beginning of Reish Lamed Beis. And what he says is, if a person borrows money, he owes it back. The lender does not ask him for the money back. Zok Shulta Kibayrim, you can assume he's being moichel, and you have no obligation to go chase him and to go give him the money. Just like Ein Hadas Toyo, if a person gives you extra funds and there's no reasonable pshat, we assume it's a present. So if the person knows that that you owe him money and he does not ask you for it, we can make the same presumption and we can assume he's not makbid, he's being moichel. Now the Shach bleibt sarachin on this halacha. So the Erech Shai is mashma, that he understood this halacha, not that it was a straight-out mechil. If one day he comes and asks you for the money, you're going to have to pay him back. The Erech Shai understood this to mean that if he's not asking you for it, it means he's being mavata, he's there to havacha zman. He's letting you hold on to it for a bit longer. But certainly, when he's had enough, when he does ask you for it, you're going to have to pay. Now there is a Ktzais in Simon Kuv Dalid who's dealing with a different Cheshbin, but he ends up with a similar result. He says the concept of Priyas Balchoiv Mitzvah, the concept that there's a mitzvah to pay back your debts, applies only when the creditor asked for repayment. If he never asked for repayment, there is no Priyas Balchoiv Mitzvah. Now that being said, the Ktzais is very clear that this just means if he never asked for repayment, there's no Priyas Balchoiv Mitzvah. However, if he did ask, but at that time you were strapped for cash, you pushed him off, you delayed, and then ultimately he just gave up, he stopped harassing you, clearly Priyas Balchoiv Mitzvah would apply, and clearly in such a case where he wanted the money, he just wasn't able to get it from you because you didn't have it, clearly you'll not be able to be Samech on the Shilta Gibayrim, and there'll be a Chiv to pay it back. It's only in a case where he never asked, you were available, he had the opportunity, and he didn't do so, that's where the Shulta Gibayrim says his Chiddush. The Shach Bleib Sarachiyan, but Akopanam, it's an interesting shita to know.
I think it's a very common occurrence that somebody knows that if you borrow, he's destitute, and he doesn't have the money, he's not going to want to put him in that lachas, and he knows he can't pay anyway.
Correct. It's not in that case, not only does he not want to do a lacha, it's in that case, if you know he doesn't have money, and you ask him for it, you're probably over in Issa Raisa of Loisila Kenesha. Again, there are rules when it does apply, when it doesn't apply, but in such a case, it's very hard to build a mechila on the fact that the malva doesn't want to be over in Issa Raisa. So, it's very mistaver, this Shulta Kibayrim's case is, where the debtor was available. He, as far as the creditor knew, he had the funds and the ability to pay. So then, by remaining silent, by not saying anything, that's a question. Why is the creditor being quiet? So in the very least, we can assume he's not makbid, he's willing to wait a bit. But in a case where either he tried collecting or it's clear it's a waste of time, I don't think you would have the Shulta Kibayrim.
At the end of Shmita, you were right to make that star.
Prisma.
Is that enough of showing that you're not mobile on law that are made principles?
Well, if he writes a prosbo on this specific debt, then clearly he's showing that he's not being moichel. But typically, when you write a prosbo, you don't specify what debts there are. So if the person has other debts, which most people have more than one outstanding debt, then it's going to be hard to prove anything about any specific chayv. No, the giving back extra money is just where you see this concept that if you have something extra and there's no reasonable explanation, it wasn't a mistake, we can assume it's a mechila, it's a matana. In that case, yes. In that case, if he comes back, we saw that it was machlokes rishonim. If he comes back, according to that goy's maimini, even if he comes and says it was a mistake, I'd like it back. If it's ena das tayi, that goy's maimini says we don't believe him. We assume that it was meant as a present. Many other rishonim argue halacha lemaisa, you probably wouldn't have to give it back, but you know that's just a question of what the original intent is. In that case, it could be. That's what really we discussed last week. The Achroinim do ask the question. The Chavis Das says, although it was ribis, once you receive it, it's ribis mu'cheres, and it's not. There's no chiyuv to return it. Other Achroinim say in Achrami that it must be where the lender gave extra, because if the borrower gave extra, it would be ribis. But that depends on the case. Okay, now we'd like to move on. Until now, we were discussing the concept of mekach tois in the context of you bought a car. You take it home, the transmission doesn't work, there's a defect. What happens when you buy something? You buy some food, you buy a sandwich, the food tastes perfectly good, but you find out that it's not kosher. What are the halachas there? Now, unfortunately, these shailas have become more and more common. We have more and more kol kairas and issues that are coming up. Coincidentally, on Erev Shabbos, someone approached me. He was actually in the fish business. And he wanted to know, what are the Chosh and Mishpat ramifications of a Kol Kairu if they come out with things that are Aser? Now, I apparently misunderstood his question. I thought he was referring to our halachas, and I thought he was asking that if you're in the fish business and you sell someone fish, and the customer then comes back and says, I just heard that there's a problem, that this might be bugs, and it might not be kosher. Do you have to refund all the customer's money? Sounded like a very good question. Now, apparently, I heard wrong. His question was really, if someone writes a kol kairu that fish is not kosher, and he's wrong, can you now go after the kol kairu as a mazik? Now, it's a nice shiloh. Perhaps when you get to Hilchas Mazik, we'll discuss it. But I did mention to him, we're going through the sugya of Reish Lama Dalit and Mekav Tois. So at that point, he turned white and said, do me a favor, talk about the meat, not the fish. Now, we will talk about the fish, but I'll start just with a disclaimer that we're only going to discuss, this Chabura deals with Chosh and Mishpat. We're not going to deal with the Yoridei Shaila, whether it is a problem, it isn't a problem. That's something each person should ask in their Moyer HaHira, they should speak to their Rav. We're going to talk hypothetically. Person bought some fish, and assuming that there is a problem, is he entitled to a refund? Now, certainly, the case is, the seller had no idea. When he sold it in good faith, thinking that there's no problem. He sells the fish, and now the buyer, now the news breaks, there's a shayla halacha. Can the buyer demand a refund? So the first halacha that we've had this a number of times, is that the claim of mekach tois has nothing to do with the seller's knowledge. If I sell you a car, I can be convinced the car is great. But if the next day the transmission blows, and it turns out there was something wrong when I sold it, although I acted in good faith, I thought it was a good car, I meant well, still, bottom line is, I didn't deliver a good car, the buyer is entitled to a refund. And therefore, in such a case, if we do find out that the fish was in fact not kosher, regardless of whether the seller did know or didn't know, mistake, shoygig, mezid, you would have a claim of mekach tois. Okay, good. Well, we'll get there. So the basic halacha is, and that we stole this morning in Reish Lama Dalet, if you sell something, you sell food, and it's nisbarer that it is not kosher, the halacha is, the buyer has the right to return it, he's entitled to a full refund. There is none. As soon as you find out... No. A mum has to be at the defect has to be there at the time of the sale. So if the transmission dies and it's possible it happened later, there we said there's a concept of kain nitzah kain hayu, there'll be no claim. But if you can prove that it was defective at the time of the purchase, that's not kaitos. So here as well, if we can prove that these worms were here at the time of the purchase, he would have a claim of kaitos, he could return the fish, get his money back, the seller is going to be stuck, he can't resell it once it left the store. But that's not relevant. The bottom line is, it's defective, he's entitled to a nekach tois.
If it came out, if that came
out after you sold it, he said, we'll get to that, we'll address some of that issue later, but to the extent that it was just a gilui das, let's say people didn't know, you just didn't know that there are worms there. So now we find out there were worms there. Nothing changed. We're now smarter. Every defect, you're not aware of the defect at the time of the sale. When you find out later that it was defective, you go back and claim mekatois. So if that's all that happened, it was just a gilui das, what the facts were, it would be very, then that would not be a defense against mekatois. Okay, fine, good. So maybe that's a valid point. We'll perhaps get back to that towards the end. So normally when there is a defect, the halacha is that you cannot force anyone to fix it. The seller cannot force you to, cannot say, I'm just going to fix it and I don't want a refund. Normally if there's a defect, you undo the deal. What we did learn is there's a concept of mum de efshel l'sakhno. If it's something which is a minimal defect that can be fixed, there the halacha is the seller can fix it and the buyer cannot demand the money back as long as the seller can replace it like new. Now, whether a transmission or an engine is called Efshel Asaknoi or it's Panim Chadoshos, that's a separate shmuz. Again, if today if there's a clear minhug, then that would also apply. Now, going back to this question, so if you bought the fish, you find out that there's a problem, and it's assuming that it's a problem, you're entitled to your money back. Now, what happens if you already ate the fish? Or for that matter, you've been buying fish every Wednesday for the past 20 years. Now the news breaks that there's a problem. Now I don't know what the metzias is, but let's just assume for the sake of the shiur that it's nisbara that this problem has been around for 20 years. So you go home, take out your calculator, add up every purchase you made for the past 20 years, and demand a refund. It's a mekach tois. Caleb already dealing with garmis and gromos and the shayga, you're not gonna win on that one. But to the extent that it's a mekach tois, you should be able to go back in time. Now to make matters worse, in Reish Lamed Daled, it's very clear that when there is a mekach tois, when the thing is not you find out that it is not kosher, the halacha is even if you ate it, you're still entitled to a full refund. If you haven't eaten it, you have to return the fish, you'll get your money back. But if you ate it, the halacha is, you're still entitled to all of your money back. So it seems like you make your calculator and 20 years worth of purchases, you should get it all back. Now before anyone runs out to their fish store, you have to look at it, learn a sma. The sma is bothered by, what's the pshat in this halacha? Normally if I buy a car, or I buy an item and it's defective, and I use it, so I can't keep the item and get a refund. I can either return the item for a refund, or if I keep it, then we have to, the sale might be batel, but we have to make some sort of adjustment. Why over here does the seller get nothing? So what he explains is as follows. The deal itself is off. I paid $7 a pound for kosher fish. Now that we find out it's not kosher, it's mekach tois, the deal's off. But now the deal's off, whose fish is it? It's the seller's fish. If I eat the seller's fish, I have to pay him for it. So normally, in such a case, I should pay him because I had hana. I benefited from his fish. So although it was mekach tois, I have to pay him at least something because I benefited, I enjoyed the fish, I had a good lunch. Zakta sma, That's true in a regular case. If I buy grade A meat and you send me grade B meat and I eat it, so I have to pay you something because I enjoy. The bottom line is I enjoy my lunch. But in this case, if a person eats lunch and finds out that he ate tarfus, he ate something which was not kosher, can you say he had hana? No, that's not a hana. No one wants to eat something that isn't kosher. He would have rather not eaten lunch that day. So since it comes out that it was this was asr and asr midoy raisa, the fact that you ate it is not called a benefit, and the seller has to refund all the money, even though he's not getting the fish back. That's one shot. The sma has another shot, and he says perhaps this is a knas. Really, perhaps you ate the fish. You should be entitled. The seller should get some sort of credit, but it's a knas because through him he was machshel people. People ended up eating things that were not kosher, that were also to eat. Therefore, as a knas, we say the seller has to give back all the money, even though he's losing the fish. Now, based on this, the shach in Yerodeya, Simin Kuf Yotes, and the Aruch HaShulchan here as well, both paskin. If the reason why why the seller doesn't get, there's no credit for the fact that it was eaten, there's only a knas applies only if it was done b'mezid. The seller knew there was a problem, and he sold it. So because he willingly put people in a situation where they ate things that were not kosher, there's a knas. But it'll come out. If the seller was a shoygig, the seller had no idea that this item was not kosher, it would come out, the knas would not apply, and the seller would get some credit for the hana that the person had for eating it. Okay, I'm not familiar with the chickens, but in a case where if they were selling something that was clearly not kosher, and certainly if it was done b'mezid, there's no shailah halacha. You have the right to demand a refund for every dime you paid.
That's if you know that the chicken you ate or the fish that you ate.
Correct.
If you can't prove it.
If you can't. Okay. Good. We'll get that's generally true. It's not always true. We'll get to that in a moment.
How much are you going to owe the monitor? You bought the fish with disclosure, the premium in the market, right? Do you pay the lower price
when there's a knas? When there's no knas, you'd pay. You would pay its value. We'll get to that a little bit later. But l'chayr, you would pay its value, whatever the value is for not kosher, right? Exactly. But again, we'll have by the isdra bun, we'll deal with it then, and then we'll shed a bit more light on this. Now, there is a bit of a svara. I'll throw it out. I don't know whether it's true or not, but just something to think about. There is a bit of a difference between this case and the normal case. The normal case in the halacha is you bought meat and you find out it's an avela, it's a trefa, it's treif. So there, we said one of the reasons why, even though you ate it, you get a full refund, is that it's not called hana. Eating the meat is not a hana, and therefore you get your entire refund. What would it be if you bought something? You walked into a restaurant and you ordered a dish. Now the dish was perfectly kosher, but the side dish that it was served with was treif. Now you find out, and you don't want to pay for your meal. So what's the halacha? Can you say I'm not paying for the entire meal, or perhaps the part that was kosher, you paid it, you got what you asked for that you have to pay for. The side dish that wasn't kosher, there we say it's a kna. There's no hana, that you don't have to pay for. So the chayr in such a case, you can separate the two. Whatever was kosher I have to pay for. That I had hana from. What I had on the side, that there's no hana, that I don't have to pay for. Now, if that's the case, if you bought fish, fish is fish. It's perfectly kosher. It doesn't have to be shechted. It was a salmon. It was nothing wrong with it. What was the problem? The problem was, along with the fish, they gave you free worms. So when we say you don't have hana by eating something that isn't kosher, it's certainly no one had enough of the worms. So if you want to figure out $7.99 a pound, you want to weigh how much these worms weighed and get a refund for that, that there's no shaila about. But perhaps you can say the worms and the fish are two separate things. They may be mixed together, but I don't know if the fact that there is something mixed in that I can't eat makes it that there's no hana whatsoever on the entire dish, on the entire fish. So again, it's a svara. Perhaps you can argue since it's mixed in, it's one thing. You can clear back and forth, but I'm just being more, it's something to think about. Which it seems that it is. You could separate it, which is a reason, right? If you can't separate it, it's hard to make this argument to say, if you have a cake and one ingredient isn't kosher, it's hard to start splitting it. But if it's something which could be separated, which I believe is the metzius, then perhaps this is an argument. If you know it has to be checked, that's one thing. But if it's being sold, the assumption is you're going to just eat it as is, then you. Okay, fair enough. Okay, good. We'll get there. We have a whole shear in front of us. Now, this is all assuming it's an issur d'oraisa. However, what happens if you buy something and you find out that it's asur midrabbanan? So here we have an interesting halach. If you still have the fish, you still have the thing, you find it asur midrabbanan, everyone agrees you can give it back. D'oraisa d'rabbanan, the bottom line is it's asur, you can't eat it, it's a mekar tos. However, after the fact, if you already ate it, here the halach is different. Here the halach is if you ate it, the seller does not have to give you any refund whatsoever. If it's an issur d'oraisa, when you ate it, you're entitled to a full refund. By issur d'rabbanan, this does not apply. The question is why? So here there's a nesivus that says two amazing chedushim. He starts off by saying that why by d'oraisa, when you by issur d'oraisa, do you not get a refund? So he said because we're eating it, when you ate it, he says that's not called a hana. It's not called a hana. You're entitled to your money back. That's only true by issur d'oraisa. If you eat something which is d'oraisa, even though it was a mistake, even though it was a shoygig, the bottom line is, when you find out the next day you ate chazer, that's not called hana. You ate, it may have been a shoygig, but it was an issur. The agavas nefesh and the tzar and the hefsid of eating the chazer outweighs the hana and the pleasure that you have, and therefore you're entitled to all of your money back. Zakhni nesivus, that's only true by issur d'oraisa. A d'oraisa b'shoigig is still an isser. However, the nesivus is mechadish. If you're over an isser d'rabbanon b'shoigig, the nesivus says you did nothing wrong. There's no such thing as a d'rabbanon b'shoigig. If you do it by mistake, the whole isser is you know Chazal said not to do it and you do it. That's an isser d'rabbanon. But if at the time that you ate it, at the time that you did it, you thought it was you're not doing anything wrong, it was a shoigig. The Nesiva says it's like you never did an Isser, you don't need any kapara, you don't have to do tshuva. And therefore you had the full hana, the full benefit from the fish, and you have to pay for it.
But Isser d'oraisa was certain. The guy told me it was kasher and he ate.
That's true. But now that you find out, two Adam come in and tell you that it was treif, and you know better, now you know you were over an Isser b'shoigig. So it was a shoigig. It's not a mazid. But if Isser was done, okay. But again, at the end of the day, you did an Isser. Some cases it will be a shagig, some cases it will be not. Whatever it is, the bottom line is you did an Isser. The Chavis Das is saying, the Nesivus is saying that an Isser d'rabbanan b'shagig is not also. Now, this is a tremendous chiddush. The Arsameach says, I have a great idea now. I'm going to open up a meat store. I'm going to take all of the chickens that are really asur midrabbanan, and I'm going to sell them. Now, what's the problem? The problem is lifneiver. I'm over lifneiver. I'm being marshaled. So if it was an issur d'oraisa, okay, there's lifneiver. But if the halacha is that if a person buys it and he thinks it's kosher, by an issur d'rabbanan he did nothing wrong, there should be no lifneiver either. So there should be nothing wrong with selling someone or giving someone something to eat, which is asur midrabbanan, as long as you keep quiet. So Arsameach says this can't be, and he's because of this he argues in the Nesivus, it's a whole tumult. But this is the Nesivus' first chiddush. But if you think about it, this doesn't really answer the question. Because how much does kosher meat cost? So let's say it's $10 a pound. How much would the same piece of meat cost if you went into a Burger King and bought a tray for version? Let's say $5 a pound. If you tried selling meat that was kosher midaraisa and treif midarabonon, how much would you be able to sell it for? $5. Anyone who's buying kosher meat is not interested in buying meat that's treif, even midarabonon. So frek the nesivos, very good. You had hana, you weren't over an issa. But the bottom line is, if the seller would have hung up a sign on the store, this is treif midarabonon, how much could he sell this for? $5. How much did he, what did this buyer actually pay? The buyer paid $10. They thought it was kosher at the time. So how can the halacha be you get no refund? It comes out, you're paying $10 for a piece of meat or a piece of fish that's only worth $5 on the open market. Once we find out, at the time he thought it was kosher, he paid $10. Today that we found out that it was asur midrabanon, so the bottom line is we know now what was the market value. The market value was $5. So, what? Good. So then we had Hano. So Mekach Tois we're saying is not a Mekach Tois because he had Hano. But how can you pay more than the value of the fish? You're right, he did nothing wrong. But what is the market value of fish? How much can you sell it for if you know the facts that it is midrabanon and you can't eat it?
Once he ate it, so,
So Zakhli Nesiva is exactly what you're saying. But it's a huge chiddush. Even though, now that we know the facts, if you wanted to know the fair market value of the fish, the value is $5, he says, since you ate it and you were allowed to eat it, you had $10 worth of hana. So it comes out a very funny case. You have $10 worth of pleasure off a fish worth $5. Zakhli Nesiva, that's why you have to pay the full value of the debt. Now the Machane Ephraim and the Devarei Chaim are all matmiya, and they say it doesn't make sense. How could it be that if you have hana from something, you pay more than its fair market value? It doesn't make sense. You can pay up to the market value, but not more. And because of that, they argue in the Nesivos. Al Kopan, and this is in the Nesivos Shita, that when there's a Zen Nenev, a Zen Chaser, you can pay for your hana even though it's worth more than the actual value of the item. What? Exactly. So normally the rule is by zen and vizel chaser, you pay even if chaser muat, you pay for the entire hana. That's a halacha. It's a machlokes, but that's what many poskim say. The nesivos is chiddush is that even when the hana is worth more than the fair market value, we can still apply this rule. That's the chiddush that most achronim argue on. By deraisa, there were two svaras. One svara. The other svara was that it's not called being nana. When a yid finds out he ate chaser, you can say all the Torah in the world, ayin is not ayin is shogig, it's not called hana. You have more, the hefsid of eating chaser, meaning over the isser, b'shogig or b'ayinus, is worse than the hana that you had. The Rabban of Hager, the Chavis Das is saying it's not an isser at all. And once it's not an isser, there's no akvas nefesh, it doesn't bother him at all. Because the lumness of the nesivos is, you're not paying because of the deal. The deal is off. But just like if I walked into the store at night, I snuck in, and I helped, and I was hungry, and I ate fish, I'd have to pay because I'm a zen nen of a zeh chaser. Nothing to do with the sale, simply because I ate his goods. So that would apply here also. I was nen at $10 from this fish, and that's what I have to pay since there was a chasarin. That's true, but again, it is Aina. So Aina, when you have kefal, that we can undo the deal. Good, undo the deal. But now I ate the fish, and I have to reimburse you for eating your fish. I can't give it back to you, it's not here. How much do I reimburse you? That the Nesiva says, I reimburse you based on the hano, the pleasure that I had, and that would be the full $10. Now, this is all assuming that the fish are definitely a problem. The cases over here, the item is definitely treif. What happens if it's a suffolk? It's a suffolk. We don't know, were there bugs in the fish or were there not bugs in the fish? What's the halach? So here we have an interesting stira between Simon Shinvav and Reish and Simon Reish Lamed Beis. In Simon Shinvav, there's halach, if you hire a shaykhid, you give him an animal to slaughter, He shechts it, and the way he shechts it, we're not sure if he did it correctly or not. It's a suffix. So what do? You tell the shaykhid, it's a suffix, I can't eat it, you're a mazik, I want you to pay for all the damage that you caused. The halacha is, the shaykh can tell you, if you prove to me I did it wrong, I'll pay you. I'll reimburse you. But kozman, we don't know whether it was done correctly or not correctly. And it's a suffix. I don't have to pay. That's halacha in Siman Shin Vav. In Reish Lamed Beis, the halacha is, if you sell an animal and it is a suffix, whether it is a treif or not, the halacha is, it is considered a nekar tois, you get your money back. What happened to Hamoitz Mechavei Avarai? So over here, the Shach in Siman Shin Vav says, there's no shaychus. If I'm a mazik, if I go ahead and I shecht it, I may have done it right, I may have done it wrong. So you want me to pay for the damage that I caused? Go prove that I did damage. However, when I'm buying an animal, this anything which people stay away from is enough to be a mum. If I buy an animal and this animal is a suffix, whether it is a treifer or not, the suffix mum is a vaday mekach tois. Because nobody wants to buy meat that may or may not be kosher. So in such a case, it's not a suffix anymore. It's a vaday mekach tois because this is having meat with a shayla on it is considered, is enough to create a mekach tois.
Is that even if you shecht the animal so you can't give it back? Maybe that's only
again, in Hilchos Nekar Tois, it doesn't make a difference. If once we find out it had a suffix, and it was a suffix whether it's kosher or not, that creates a Vadei Mekar Tois, and you'll be entitled to your money back. Now, hold on, this is a case where something happened. This animal, because of whatever it is, you find something on it, is a suffix whether it's kosher or not. What will get interesting is what happens if you have a case where, again, theoretically, everyone knows there are fish. Everyone knows there are a certain amount of worms in the fish. And now there's a machloikis whether these worms are a problem or not. So does that create a mekach toy, a mum? Does that create a mekach toys or not? Now it depends where you go. If you read the Eted, we read one page, there's a saw kol kaira that everything's mutter. You flip a couple of pages further, there's a kol kaira, everything's awesome. So is that enough to create a mekach toys? So here, if you think about it, it's really a different question. In the case of the Shach, it was something which the halacha was, it's a suffix l'arayis l'chumra. So while we don't know for sure where the animal is, kosher or isn't, the halacha is a person has to be machmer. If the halacha is, you have to be machmer, that's enough to create a mekach tois, it's a mum, and it will create a mekach tois. And here you have a case where some rabbanim are telling their mispalim, it's not a problem, you can eat it, mahajim and a mahajim. Others are saying, you can't touch it. So over here, it's not a suffix mum. To some people, it's a mum. To some people, it isn't. So this already is a whole different sugya. This we had at the end of Reish Lamed Beis. If you sell something, and you sell seeds, or you sell wheat. So if he's a farmer, he's buying it, he wants it to be able to grow. If he's a baker, he wants to grind, he wants to eat it. So if it can't grow, so there, and you have it, and there's a claim of mekach tois. The halacha is, the seller can say, I sold it to eat. I didn't expect you to plant it. You wanted to plant it, that's your problem. And therefore, certainly when the seller is the muchzik, if to some people it is a mum, to some people it isn't a mum, the buyer will not be able to be mighty mumun, he will not be able to force the seller to give a refund. Right. In other words, if there halacha is that misafik you have to be machmer, that's a vade nekartos. But if some people hold l'chumra and some people hold l'kula, then the seller can say, it's not my fault that you decided to be machmer. You're going to be machmer, you be machmer on your cheshbon, not on my cheshbon. I hold that it's mutter. In the other case, everyone agrees that misafik you have to be machmer. But no, because even if it's the Rabbanon, the halacha is, and this is, the Mishpat Shalom points out, even in a case, let's say you have a case where midaraisa it's mutter, midrabbanon it's asur. Or even midrabbanon it's mutter, but the minhug is to be makbid on this. But it's the minhug. In such a case, everyone agrees it's a mekach tois. Because if that's the minhag, if that's what everyone's mechuyev to do, no one wants to buy something that has this problem. Okay, good. Enachami. Then you have to go back. Right. You have to go back to the chesbonim. It's of knas and hana. Enachami. Then you'll have to chesbon whether it's daras or darabana. We're talking about lechachila, whether it's mechatois in the first place. So based on this, it'll come out very interesting. It'll come out. If it's something where the halacha is a person should be machmir, even if it's a chumrah, but if the halacha is, it's mutl on a person to be machmir, it'll be mechatois. But if it's something which it's yesh v'yesh, some rabbanim will say one way, some rabbanim will say the other way, then if the buyer already paid for it, he will not be able to demand a refund. The exception perhaps would be is if the buyer was known to be a big machmer, and the seller knew him. The seller knows this person is always machbid on everything. So then this svar doesn't apply. The seller understood that whatever he sells to this person has to be mahajim and a mahajim without any sveikas. So that's like selling, if you sell seeds to a farmer, you know perfectly well he's going to plant it. There's a claim that there would be a mechatois. But under normal circumstances, as long as it's yesh v'yesh, there's a legitimate side to be makel, you would not be able to force the seller to give a refund. Now, there's one last svara, which there's not much discussion in the poskim, but I'll say b'teresh efshar. There is a Beis Shlomo Siman Kuf Tzadivav that really addresses a very similar point. And that is, you can really question the whole concept of mekach tois in this case. Why? Because what's a normal case of mekach tois? You bought a car. You expect the car to work. You find out there's something wrong with the transmission, so you can come back afterwards and say, this is a tois, I didn't get what I bargained for, I want my money back. In the case of the fish, where was the tois? So if until now, no one knew that there were any worms in the fish, and now we find out that there are things mixed in. Okay, then I hear. Then we have a nice child. But it seems the fact is that people knew for many years that there were worms, but the halacha is, the pashas in halacha is, that worms in the flesh of the fish are not a problem. What changed is now they figured out maybe it's coming from the stomach and a whole tumult. When I sell something, and the buyer knows exactly what he's getting, he comes in and says, listen, I want wild salmon, the ones that have worms in the stomach, in the flesh. But he bought it because he thought there was no problem in halacha with that. Now, there's a psak comes out that is a problem in halacha. Is that a mekach tois? Did I sell him the wrong thing? Did I not deliver what he asked for? I'm not so sure. I gave him exactly what he wanted. There's no tos. He made a mistake in halacha. If a person comes in and says, I want to buy chazer from you, and you sell him chazer, can you come back the next day and say, I didn't realize that chazer wasn't kosher? No, it's not a toyus. I sold you what you asked for. You didn't know the halacha, so what do you want from me? So in a case where the facts were known, and what changed is just in lumdus, there was a chiddush that halacha should be different, it could be it's bechlal not a mekach tois, because everyone knew exactly what they were getting. And if this is true, then regardless whether, you know, kosher, treif, asur, mutter, then the entire tide of mekach tois wouldn't apply. Now again, this would only apply if you knew there were worms, but you thought those worms were kosher. If you didn't know bechlal, then this wouldn't be true. But I'll call upon him in a case where you knew exactly what you were getting, then there'll be no, there would perhaps be no tide of mekach tois.
Even if you didn't know at all that there were worms in
okay, fair enough. Fair enough. You have to figure out what he should have known, what he shouldn't have known. I don't know whether most people did know or didn't know. Okay, fair enough. And just one last point before we end, because it's not so directly negiah to this case, but it comes up a lot. And that is, what about the tiny that you could have checked? Anyone who bought fish could have checked, and it seems these things are not that hard to find if you look a little carefully. Is that a defense against mechatois? So the Sma brings down a Magen Mishnah that said, brings down a Yesh Aimrim, that any time you could have checked for a defect and you don't, you lose the entire claim of mekach tois. Now, if you follow this Shita, many, if not most cases of mekach tois seem to go out the window, because most things are not that hard to find, and what he seems to be saying is if you could check and you don't, you've lost all your rights. Halacha l'maisa is this concept doesn't usually apply for a number of reasons. First of all, this is a machlokes. Many Achronim say that this is a Das Yachid, and we don't follow the halach. Even the places that accept this argument, that if you could check and you don't, you're being Meichel Amom, it applies only where it's normal to check something. It's normal to check and you don't, so you're showing you don't care. But in a case where you don't have the opportunity, when you go to an electronics store and you try opening the box and putting in the battery and testing it all out, they're not going to let you do it, and it's certainly not the norm to do it. In such a case, the Poskim speak out, this halacha would not apply l'kulayam. So if you buy a dozen eggs, and you take it home without opening up the carton to check whether it's cracked or not, so it depends what generation you're from. Your parents probably, your mother probably when she went to the store would open up the carton and look and see if it was cracked. If that was the case, if that's the minhug, then if you don't open it up and you don't check, you're being meichel according to this shita. However, if times change, and today most people when they buy eggs do not open up the carton and do not check them to see if they're whole or not, so then we would no longer have the svar of the Magen Mishnah l'kulei yam. Now another important rule is that this applies only when you didn't bother checking. If you tried checking and you just missed it, or you hired someone to do a home inspection and he missed it, this halacha would not apply. And lastly, the Rav Chaim says it only applies to relatively minor defects. If it's a huge defect, that it's, you know, if you buy the car and you don't check it, and you find out that the battery is weak, so you'll have the Magen Mishnah. But if you buy the car and the next day the transmission blows, that is a huge defect where no one is Meichel. There, the Rav Chaim says the svar will not apply l'kulayam. It's like this. So the two cases where this is most relevant, most stores, people do not check. You buy electronics, you go to a grocery, you don't check everything before you buy it. The two cases where it is common is when you're buying a used car or when you're buying a house. There it is very common to bring a car to a mechanic. It's very common to do a home inspection. Now, if you do it and they miss a defect, the svar doesn't apply because you tried. But if you don't bother doing a home inspection or you don't bother bringing a car to a mechanic, then you would have to deal with this Magen Mishnah. Then perhaps not checking would show a mechila. So if there is a relatively minor defect, it's very likely the seller would be able to say kimli. Now, normally, in both of these examples, when you do the sale, it's done as is. So although as is a separate machlokes, whether you can be moicha without saying exactly what the defect is, if there's an as is, and he could have done an inspection and he didn't, and on top of that, there's an asivus that says if you use the car or use the house after having the opportunity to do an inspection, in those cases, in all likelihood, the seller would prevail and there would be no claim of mechatos. Right.